You are Locked On Ravens, your daily Baltimore Ravens podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And we return here with another episode of Locked On Ravens. I am your host, Kevin Ostreicher of Ravens Wire. And we return here on a Thursday episode where there is a lot to talk about yet again, although we are still waiting. You know, we're waiting for training camp to start. We're waiting for the preseason. We're waiting for the 2021 regular season. It's like, you know, can it get here already, please? It's kind of something where we have to just keep on waiting it out, and then all of a sudden it'll be there right before we know it. But here today, there was some interesting tidbits that were dropped yesterday in a question and answer between The Athletic's Jeff Zeribek and Ravens cornerback Jimmy Smith entering his 11th season. It's crazy. It already seems like he's been in the league for so long. He's done so many great things, but, you know, it feels like, you know, maybe he's an 8-year veteran, a 9-year veteran. No, he is entering his 11th season, and he said some very, very nice things about the Ravens organization, including providing some insight into what his future holds and what his whole free agency process has been like. So we'll talk about that in the first segment because it's really important and it ties back to something I've been talking about a lot on this show, and that is culture. Then in the second segment, I want to kind of dive into Lamar Jackson's contract extension, potential contract extension. Nothing's happened yet. That there have been, you know, obviously so many different reports on and so many different news pieces on and so much speculation. But some other stuff had come out recently about Lamar Jackson representing himself with his mom. His mom is his, you know, agent, pretty much. That's who represents him. Lamar Jackson does not have a formal agent like a lot of NFL players and sports players do. Lamar Jackson, it's him and his mom. And I want to talk about that and just really what it means for him. I mean, I think it's a very smart play, but I want to kind of dive into that and overall just some contract talk with him. And then in the final segment, I talked in yesterday's episode a bit about Ronnie Stanley and Nick Boyle and Tavon Young, and one of my questions that I had on the show yesterday that I hope to get answered at least before or during the 2021 season is, can those guys all come back? But I didn't really talk about their impacts or what those impacts will be and how it compares to what the Ravens were dealing with during the 2020 season. I touched on it a little bit, but I want to kind of spend more time on it, so I want to talk about that in the final segment. So again, we'll talk about Jimmy Smith and what he had to say in the first segment, Lamar Jackson's potential contract extension in the second segment, and what Ronnie Stanley, Nick Boyle, and Tavon Young bring to the table returning from major injuries in the final segment. So let's dive right into it here, but before we do that, be sure to follow us anywhere there is a podcast, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, really anywhere there is a podcast. We are there Monday through Friday at 6 a.m. Eastern Time, and also be sure to follow us on Twitter at Locked On Ravens and my personal account at KOstreicher34 for any Ravens news, analysis, updates, historical perspectives, free agency analysis, draft analysis, trade analysis, game tweets, and much, much more. So with all that being said, we are going to jump right in here, and let's start off with Ravens cornerback Jimmy Smith and what he had to say with Jeff Zeribek of The Athletic. And if you haven't seen the article already, go check it out because it has a ton of interesting tidbits in it. But with Jimmy Smith, this whole thing, a lot of people took away from it was the fact that Jimmy Smith wants to be a Raven for life. And whenever someone says that, oh, I want to be this for life, or I want to stay here for my whole career, people might take certain comments to say that where, oh, this player wants to stay forever, this player never wants to leave, or even, you know, a player's just saying it to say it because that's what fans want to hear. But in this case, Jimmy Smith's career, you know, he's not on the up and up. His career is winding down. He's still a very solid player, but I think that he truly meant what he said here in this interview, and I'll just read it off and then we'll talk about it. He said, quote, I absolutely will not play for another team. If the Ravens didn't re-sign me last year and I felt like I could still play, I probably would have still retired. I didn't like being out there like that in free agency, and I passed up more money from the Ravens the first time to eventually take less money. This year, I was like, I know I want to be here, so let me not play games. Obviously, I know I'm not going to be one of the two starters, but I know I have a role on this team. I'm comfortable with that, so it was easy for me to sign back again. End quote. So the big quote in that, obviously, is I absolutely will not play for another team. And Smith is someone who came into the league, a first-round pick out of the University of Colorado Boulder in 2011, had a lot of off-field issues. The Ravens still took a chance on him, and it has turned out to be one of the better decisions they have made. Although Smith has had an injury history, I mean, he has done it all in a Baltimore Ravens uniform. He is a Super Bowl champion. Over the course of his 10-year career, he's now entering year 11. Over the course of his first 10 years in the league, he has accumulated 356 total tackles. He's intercepted 14 passes. He's scored 2 defensive touchdowns, 3 forced fumbles, 2 fumble recoveries. But the most impressive part is he has been a lockdown corner for almost every single season. And whenever Jimmy Smith gets injured, you can see kind of a shift in the Ravens defense, and kind of their whole game plan kind of shifts a little bit over to something a little bit different, because Smith does bring a lot of versatility on the outside, which I think has been really valuable. And now, you know, he mentioned in there, he knows he's not going to be one of the top 2 starters. Those starter roles belong to Marlon Humphrey and Marcus Peters on the outside, but Smith still has a role to play. The Ravens like to rotate in those 3 corners. Even when Marcus Peters wasn't in Baltimore and it was Brandon Carr instead of Marcus Peters, right, it would be the 3 cornerback rotation of Smith and Humphrey and Carr, and then, you know, Peters comes in, they still have that depth. But Smith is someone who has done so much in a Baltimore Ravens uniform. And look, I'm not saying, and I don't even know if Smith was saying, that he has never considered, you know, the what-ifs of playing for a different team. What if I went here? What if I signed here? What if this team offers more money? Because he ended up being a Raven for life, or at least he has been so far. But there have been chances for him to go and sign elsewhere, but it just seems like he is so loyal to the city of Baltimore and to what the Ravens have been able to do for him. And obviously the Ravens are very grateful for what Smith has been able to do for their organization. But this just ties back into what I've been saying time and time again on this show about what the Ravens have built from a culture perspective. If the Ravens weren't a great place to play, if the Ravens didn't have a great on-field product, if Jimmy Smith didn't feel close to his teammates, if he didn't feel like Baltimore was the right situation for him, he would have either gone elsewhere or he would have retired. I think those are the 2 options that he would probably consider if that was the case. But it's not, because what Baltimore has shown over the years, what players, you know, veteran players, young players have shown, is that Baltimore is one of the premier places to play for multiple reasons. Obviously, their on-field product is really good, but you hear it, even from the rookies this year, coming into the building, walking into the castle, just getting acclimated with the NFL game. They see this whole thing and they realize, oh, like, people are being serious. Like, it's not just a whole scam where people are just saying it to say it and making the organization look better. No, it's true. And Jimmy Smith has been a part of that now. He's entering year 11. That's something that I think is really important for all types of players. We've seen Eric Weddle. We've seen Calais Campbell as recent examples. We've seen veterans come in from all walks of life and say that their time in Baltimore was memorable. We've seen players retire as Ravens who spent most of their careers elsewhere. All of those things say a lot about what Baltimore has done. And I think a lot of key people have done a lot of good things to develop that culture. I mean, going back, remember, this wasn't always a place that had the most amazing culture. It never had a bad culture, but, you know, what they have done over these last couple of seasons really have cemented themselves into the, all right, yeah, I want to come here and play when, you know, my second contract is up, my third contract is up. They're not going to break the bank for anybody, right? It has to be a good fit, and they want it to be a good fit. They really, really, ever since the Ray Rice thing happened, they really want their culture to reflect great off-the-field values as well as winning values on the field. And for Smith, he wants to have that loyalty to his organization, to the team that took a chance on him, that helped him develop into the player that he is today, that has stuck by him through injuries and whatnot. That's the most important part of this all, because at the end of the day, football players are human, and I don't think enough people understand that. They have lives, they have families. Everything about them doesn't just revolve about what they're doing. You know, they tackle this guy, they throw a touchdown, they do this, they win, they lose. Jimmy Smith is showing here that he wants to be a Raven for life, that he wants to stay in Baltimore. Baltimore is all he's ever known from an NFL perspective, and he wants it to stay that way from what he said here. And it's interesting, he did say, if the Ravens didn't re-sign me last year and I felt like I could still play, I probably would have still retired. Who knows how true that actually is, but I'm not going to doubt him. Right? I'm not going to say, oh, Jimmy Smith is lying to your face, because I don't think he's that type of guy. I think he was being sincere. Now, again, there is such thing as player speak, and how much of this was that, I don't know. But I do believe him where he says he's not going to play for another team. I think that he could retire after this season. He could retire after next season, after the Ravens maybe re-sign him to a one-year deal. But he pretty much was making it known that, yeah, I want to go and do this, and I want to play my whole career out here, see if I can win another Super Bowl with this team. Smith also said, quote, "I feel pretty blessed. I was really banged up at the end of last year with the rib break and all that, groin, Achilles, all of that stuff. I rested a lot this offseason due to the whole pandemic. My personal trainer left Baltimore, actually, went to Miami and did other things. I ended up training with the Ravens, and it's nice here. I had a great time training. My trainer might be back for this stretch we have now so we can get our good work in. If not, I'll be up at the Ravens facility training," end quote. So that's really a good sign. It's an endorsement from Smith of just, he's been able to kind of weather the storm of injuries. Obviously, I know it hasn't been pretty for his entire career. He has been pretty banged up with everything. But I do think that with a healthy season, and who knows if that will happen, but if he has a healthy season, and we'll talk about Tavon Young in the third segment and his health, it can be a great year for Baltimore, a great year for Smith. And maybe, just like they did with Ray Lewis, they can send Jimmy Smith out on top if this is his last year. I'm not saying it is, but when it is Jimmy Smith's last year, maybe the Ravens can send out a player who stayed loyal to them on top. We're going to head into our first break now, but when we return, we're going to be talking a bit about Lamar Jackson's potential contract extension and that whole process. So stay tuned for that, and we'll be right back. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing, and you can check all the action at BetOnline. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and all of your UFC and MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their run to the playoffs. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. And we return here with our second segment of this Thursday edition of Locked On Ravens. Kevin Ostrich, your host, still hanging out with you here, and we just talked about what Jimmy Smith had to say in a one-on-one with Jeff Schriebeck of The Athletic, but now we're going to dive into Lamar Jackson and those contract talks. We've talked about those contract talks with Lamar Jackson for quite some time here on the show. It seems like the topic never goes away, and so there are some new news points sometimes that come up, and they'll come up randomly, and I feel like this is kind of what happened over the past couple of days, where, you know, all these things started to come out about Lamar Jackson not having an agent, and that his mom was his agent. And I feel like within, you know, Ravens flock or within Ravens circles, this was a well-known fact. You know, this, I knew this already. It didn't really surprise me, but I was surprised that it didn't seem like as many people as I thought knew about it. But regardless of if people do or don't, I did want to take some time and talk about it here because it has been, I think, a couple weeks since we've talked about fully a Lamar Jackson potential contract extension. And there have been some tidbits here and there. Jeremy Fowler reporting that the deal might get done sooner rather than later. So, all the, again, little things that drop almost subtly sometimes that kind of go under the radar. But Ian Rappaport went on the Pat McAfee show and ended up talking about negotiating a deal without an agent. With Lamar Jackson negotiating that deal with his mom, he said, quote, "It is a lot of pressure, unbelievably difficult. The stakes are incredibly high because if you lock yourself into a bad deal, you could cost yourself tens of millions of dollars," end quote. And so what this whole thing means really is, and it's something I've talked about before, there are two sides to the story with signing a deal early for a player and signing a deal late for a player. And, you know, it goes both ways. So if the Ravens and Lamar Jackson get a deal done early, there are pros and cons for both sides. For Lamar Jackson, you lock yourself into that deal in case next year, this upcoming year in 2021, there is an injury. There's a pretty brutal injury, for example, Dak Prescott, Earl Thomas, one of those freak injuries, and that costs you money on that deal because a team can use that and say, hey, you know, you got injured. I don't know if we're comfortable paying you X amount of money. Now we're going to pay you Y amount of money. So that's one advantage for players, to lock themselves into that deal and to say, hey, I have this amount guaranteed, and no injury is going to change that. I have this set money guaranteed. Now, a con to that is if there is no injury, which obviously I hope there isn't, and Lamar Jackson plays really well, let's say he wins MVP, as the second MVP in his career, he wins a Super Bowl, he is costing himself tens of millions of dollars. What Joe Flacco did is he turned down a contract extension by the Ravens, or that was made by the Ravens in 2012. He bet on himself and he won the Super Bowl. And that made him tens of millions of dollars because he won that Super Bowl. He won on that historic playoff run, you know, no interceptions, one of the best I've ever seen. He did that in a contract year, which helped him out a lot. Now, from a team perspective, obviously, you know, it's the same type of thing. If they lock into that deal and there's an injury, then the team has to pay that money and they can't really take it back because of the guarantee that he ends up getting. Who knows what the guarantee money would be, but if there's an injury, the team really can't take that back with outs and everything. There could be depending on the deal, but usually it's tough. And then obviously a pro is if, for the team, they do sign that contract early and Lamar Jackson plays very well and they don't have to pay him, you know, $30 million extra per year or that Super Bowl money. That could happen. Now, on the contrary, if the deal is signed late, it's kind of the opposite for the players and for the team. So if Lamar Jackson has a really bad season or he gets injured and he's not signed, then it becomes, all right, we were going to pay you this, you turned it down, but now you had a bad year, you got injured, we're going to pay you this, and the player doesn't get as much money or something like that. For the team, it's again the same thing, just kind of flipped over. If Lamar Jackson has a great year and he's not signed to a contract, he can demand $30, $40, $50 million per year extra, whereas if he was signed, the team would have been locked into that lower figure beforehand. So all of that goes into this. It's a really tough negotiating process for both parties. And as Rappaport said, it is a lot of pressure and it is difficult. And with no agent, I mean, honestly, look, Lamar Jackson has been trusting his mom to do this stuff. And he said that there's not really a reason to have an agent during the whole rookie thing because you kind of get what you get in terms of salary and stuff with not a ton of wiggle room with it. But I think that they are a good duo, Lamar Jackson and his mom doing this, and it's something that you don't really see, and I think that's why it's more of a shock. I don't think the principle of it is really that shocking. Agents take a pretty big cut of a contract, whereas with no agent, you don't have to give up that money. You don't have to give up that part of the contract where, you know, agents get 15%, 20%, whatever it is, 5%, whatever it is. Lamar Jackson doesn't have to give up that money. And something else Rappaport said is, quote, agents a lot of times sort of act as the buffer for teams to players. So if you're really pissed off about some counteroffer, you scream at the agent and talk about why you're going to put him out of business or whatever you want to say, and the player generally has no idea and their relationship is good. It's a little different with Lamar Jackson because it's his mom acting as his business partner. And that is kind of an interesting insight to what it is, because I definitely do agree with that fact. Although I don't think, you know, screaming is necessarily going to go on. I mean, it could. I don't know the inside workings, but it seems like Eric DaCosta and Lamar Jackson do want to get the deal done. And Spelltrack right now projects Lamar Jackson's value at $42.7 million, and that would make him the second highest paid quarterback behind, obviously, Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes. And again, I think it's going to be kind of in that Deshaun Watson, Dak Prescott area where, you know, maybe, I mean, at the end of the day, I think it probably will surpass in terms of average annual value per year. But in terms of total money, who knows how that's going to go? And in terms of length, who knows how that's going to go? Obviously, I think this is a deal that'll probably span 5, 6, 7 years. I don't think it's going to go 10, but I would be shocked if it was a 4-year deal. I could see it being a 4-year deal, but I think the Ravens want him under contract for longer than that. And then it's what's happening now with Lamar Jackson. He's going to get paid $23 million, just over $23 million in 2022 with his fifth-year option. So this year is really the last year that the Ravens have Lamar Jackson for cheap. And then he's going to get paid, I think, the money he deserves. And that's what it is, right? He is going to get paid the money he deserves. This isn't like, oh, Lamar Jackson hasn't done anything and he doesn't deserve any of this. He's done a lot, and obviously, you know, the playoff success hasn't come yet. There's still room to improve, but he's a young quarterback. He still has a lot of stuff to improve on. Obviously, all young quarterbacks have some stuff that they can improve on. So this is going to be something that I definitely could see happening sooner rather than later. I think they've been working hard at this behind the scenes, both the Ravens and Lamar Jackson and his mom. I could see it getting done before the season. I think it's more of a long shot that it gets done before the year, and maybe something happens during the year. But again, during the year is kind of difficult because the season's happening and there's not a ton of room and everything. So that could be interesting to just figure out, because right now we're in late June And by the time, let's say, August rolls around, I could certainly see something being done. But then you start to get into the season. And then, you know, Lamar Jackson is in the middle of either a good season or a bad season. And then either Lamar Jackson or the Ravens could say, hey, I'm having a really good year, or hey, you're having a really bad year. And that can affect the deal. So I do think both parties probably do want to get it done before the season. That's just what I would be thinking if I were both sides. But a lot has to go into this. It is a very stressful negotiation. The Ravens haven't really had anything of this scale with this salary cap, right? The salary cap is going back up. So there's going to be a lot of money in this deal. And the Ravens also have to look at extensions with Mark Andrews and potentially Marquise Brown down the road and some other guys. So getting Lamar Jackson's deal done is a very high priority for this team. Again, I could certainly see it getting done before the season. I'm not saying it's a guarantee, but I think both probably want to get it done before the season just so they can have it off their plate. They'll get a good deal for both sides. This isn't like one side is trying to scam the other out of a good deal, right? They're going to try to get something good, and I think it'll happen. It's just a matter of when, not if, for me. We're going to head into our final break now, and when we return, we're going to be taking a look at what Ronnie Stanley, Nick Boyle, and Tavon Young bring to the table after returning from their injuries, so stay tuned for that, and we'll be back soon. Built Bar is the best-tasting protein bar ever. What's your favorite Built Bar flavor? Did you know that Built Bar has 9 delicious flavors, including coconut, almond, mint brownie, peanut butter brownie, double chocolate, and salted caramel? Not only are Built Bar flavors the best-tasting, but they're healthy, too. Order today and get that raspberry or mint brownie or whatever you like. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off of your first order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. And we return here with our final segment of this Thursday edition of Locked On Ravens. Kevin Ostreicher still hanging out with you here. And now we're going to get into the, I guess, re-additions of Ronnie Stanley, Nick Boyle, and Tavon Young. Three very, very good players who are going to be returning to the Baltimore roster after having to be placed on injured reserve with pretty brutal season-ending injuries. And, I mean, these are pretty much three huge, I'll even go as far as saying, like, free agent additions. They're not actually free agent additions, but pretty much the Ravens were playing without, for example, Tavon Young for almost the whole year, ever since week two. For Ronnie Stanley, it was a bit longer than that, and same thing with Nick Boyle, but those three players were huge losses. The Ravens had to adjust both their offense and their defense because of them. And so I just wanted to talk about each one a little bit and what they're going to bring back to the table for Baltimore, starting with Ronnie Stanley, the 6'6", 315-pound all-pro player. He's one of the best tackles in the NFL. He really is. He's someone who can't be replaced. Now, Orlando Brown Jr., when he flipped over to that left side, did a pretty good job, but he was no Ronnie Stanley. Stanley is someone who is great as a run blocker. He's able to move down the field really well. And, I mean, there are plays where he'll be, again, like 40, 50 yards down the field blocking for running backs, blocking for wide receivers on screens, reverses, whatnot. All that stuff is really good that he does, but his bread and butter is in the passing game. He is one of the best pass-blocking offensive linemen in the entire NFL, and that's something that was missed, especially, you know, you look at a game like the Buffalo game in the divisional round where the Ravens' offensive line struggled all around, but particularly in the pass game, having a guy like Stanley back will really help them. Stanley also is entering his sixth year, so he is now a veteran. He is someone who has seen quite a lot at the NFL level. He's not this, you know, young, bright-eyed young player anymore. He's someone who is going to be able to lead a little bit and to take guys like Ben Cleveland, for example, Bradley Bozeman even, under his wing and do a little bit with them. Bradley Bozeman doesn't need as much of, you know, a leader as a guy like Ben Cleveland, Ben Powers, even Ben Bredesen might, but he's going to be responsible, right? Him and whoever wins that left guard job are going to be working in tandem. Obviously, the whole offensive line does. But Stanley doesn't need a veteran at the left guard position near him. He is going to have to be a veteran for somebody else, and I think he can do it. The issue with Stanley, though, and I've talked about it here before, is he has never played a full season in his entire NFL career. Now, 2020 was the most amount of games he has missed, and most of his games that he has missed are from, like, these little tiny injuries that, like, force him to miss a game here and a game there. During his rookie season, he played in 12 games. Then in 2017 and 2018, he played in 15. In 2019, he played in 14. And in 2020, he played in 6. So, the stat remains he has never played in a full season at the NFL level, but it's not like he's suffered season-ending injury after season-ending injury after season-ending injury. So hopefully he'll be able to put that first, this year it's 17 games, so first healthy full season on the board in his NFL career, and he's going to be a big addition to this Ravens offense and help solidify that new and improved offensive line. For Nick Boyle, he's going to also be in line. He's going to be someone who is going to block. He is a blocker tight end. He has improved his receiving skills as well in 2020. Only put up 14 receptions for 113 yards and 2 scores, but that was in 9 games. In 2019, 31 receptions for 321 yards and 2 touchdowns. So he is getting utilized more in the pass game, and I think we're going to see that a bit more also in 2021. But Nick Boyle was sorely missed in this Ravens offense. He is arguably their best all-around blocker at any position, and he's pretty much like an extra offensive lineman on the field, which is huge because he can also catch the football and is eligible to catch the football as a tight end. So just having Boyle back in the fold, then obviously Mark Andrews is going to be thrilled to have him back and just to be able to be next to him and playing with him. What Boyle brings to the table is versatility that he didn't really have over his first couple years in the league. He's someone who has thrived as a blocker. I've talked about that before, but I want to go back to the pass catching because it makes him more of a threat for the Ravens, because what we saw in, you know, we'll go back to 2019, is we saw the Mark Andrews is the pure pass catcher guy. We saw Nick Boyle is the pure blocker guy, and Hayden Hurst was kind of the guy in the middle. What Mark Andrews and Nick Boyle have done is they've elevated their game so that now Mark Andrews is a bit more of a blocker, and Nick Boyle is a bit more of a pass catcher. So they go hand in hand with each other, and then adding in a third tight end will really help as well. So Stanley and Boyle on that offense, I mean, I'm so excited to see them back. And I think what Boyle's next step is just to be able to get involved in the pass game a bit more, maybe work on his route running a bit. He actually had a really nice catch percentage during the 2020 season, 14 receptions on 17 targets. That was the highest of his career and the highest since his rookie season, where he had 18 receptions on 23 targets, 82.4% catch percentage in 2020, 78.3% catch percentage in 2015, and I'm not counting his 2016 season where he only had 6 receptions on 6 targets. That technically is the best of his career, but I'm going off of at least 10 receptions in a season, which that would disqualify the 2016 season. So I think Boyle is going to be a great addition to this offense. Again, I mean, we've seen what he can do, and he was missed in 2020 after he got injured, so to see him back in 2021 will be great. And speaking of players who were missed, Tavon Young certainly was missed after going down in week 2 with that injury, his third season ender in 5 seasons. And that was a tough one for the Ravens to swallow because they really didn't have a backup for Tavon Young. They had to move Marlon Humphrey back inside for a lot of the season. They tried a couple of other options, and luckily they had the cornerback depth for a little bit. They went through a stretch where they didn't have a ton. They were signing guys off the street like Devonta Harris. But now he is fully healthy. He is ready to go. Hopefully, he is going to be able to suit up for a full season in 2021. His best season came in 2016, which was his rookie year. Ended up having 2 interceptions and 53 total tackles. He also had 3 fumble recoveries during his 2018 season and 2 touchdowns there to go along with 37 tackles and an interception, but missed the entire 2017 season, missed the entire 2019 season, and also missed most of the 2020 season. So what Young brings to them is one of the best slot corners in the entire NFL, someone who can go head-to-head with the best slot receivers and be someone who keeps up with their speed, their quickness, their agility, and is a little bit more fit for that role. Now, I'm not saying Humphrey was doing bad in that role, but Humphrey is definitely a little bit more fit for, I would say, the outside. Him and Marcus Peters and Jimmy Smith and their Anthony Avert make an absolute unit at the outside. And Humphrey can use his physicality a bit more there and is able to match up with guys more his size there. And I'm not saying the Ravens aren't going to use Marlon Humphrey in the slot at all in 2021 if Tavon Young is healthy, but Young does bring a good feel for the slot cornerback position. He's been playing there for his entire career, and he's someone who will give the Ravens a lot of depth in other places. So the trio of Ronnie Stanley, Nick Boyle, and Tavon Young, an all-injured team, at least they would have been a part of it. They're now all back and healthy for the Ravens, and hopefully they can put together healthy seasons for the 2021 year. That's all that I have for you today, but when we get back here tomorrow, we'll be rounding out the week with more Ravens talk, so stay tuned for that, and I will see you tomorrow.